Hello everybody, my name is Baptiste Lepers and I'm going to present MemProf, which is a joint work with Renaud Lachaise and Vivien Kema. So in the last talk, we have seen the importance of optimizing cache accesses, and in this talk, I will stress the importance of optimizing main memory accesses. So machines are becoming NUMA, which means that cores are grouped into nodes, and each node has a fast access to some part of the memory and a slower access to other parts of the memory. And by fast access, I mean a high peak bandwidth and a low latency. And by slow, I mean a lower peak bandwidth and a slower latency, higher latency. The problem is that currently, applications completely ignore the fact that they run on NUMA machines. And you might end up in situations just like this one, where an application is mainly performing remote memory accesses. And that is a problem. In the paper, we study four applications: FaceRec, which is a facial recognition engine; String Cluster, which basically cluster points; PSearchy, which is a parallel file indexer; and the famous Apache web server. All of these applications perform remote memory accesses. And in the paper, we show that by simply modifying the way they access the main memory, by modifying the memory placement, we are able to have huge performance improvement, up to 161%. So because taking NUMA into account is important, it's no surprise to see that application agnostic heuristics have been designed. For example, last year in this conference, a thread scheduling and page migration algorithm was presented, so it's still a very active research topic. This work have very nice results on some applications, but it's very hard to design global heuristics. So on some applications, they basically do nothing, and on some applications, they even slightly decrease performance. So for example, we implemented a version inspired by the thread scheduling and page migration algorithm presented last year, and we tested it on Apache running a spec web workload. And what we saw was that it did not decrease the percentage of remote memory accesses, and even has a slight performance overhead of 5%. So basically, there is still room for manual improvement. And in order to implement manual improvement, we want to understand the causes of remote memory accesses. And this understanding is required in order to choose adequate optimization. Basically, on a NUMA machine, there are five main ways to optimize an application. The first is changing the allocation policy, which means instead of letting the system choose the memory placement, you force an object or a structure to be allocated on a precise node. The second optimization is replicate memory. Replicating memory basically means instead of allocating a structure once, you replicate it on all memory nodes so that everybody can have a local copy. You can also migrate memory, which means that before using a structure, you migrate it on your local node so that after on, you can access it locally. The fourth optimization is memory interleaving. Memory interleaving often doesn't increase locality, but in the case where you perform a lot of memory accesses on a single memory controller, often this memory controller gets saturated. And by interleaving memory, which means by splitting an object on multiple nodes, often you are able to reduce contention on a single memory node and thus increase performance. And the last optimization is changing the way threads are scheduled. Basically, place all threads in a single node and allocate all memory in this node so that all threads perform local memory accesses. The question is, can we understand the causes of remote memory accesses using existing profilers? And I will show an example that existing profilers do not give sufficient information. So I'll take FastRec as an example. FastRec is a facial recognition engine, and it performs 63% of its DRAM accesses on remote memory. And we will show that with simple optimization, we are able to have a 42% performance improvement. So basically, existing profilers point out the function that perform remote accesses, the memory pages that are remotely accessed, and the global static object that are remotely accessed. On FastRec, they say that basically one function is doing all the remote memory accesses, and that this function is accessing one third of the allocated pages, and that FastRec doesn't use any global object. So it is a very simple case. But with this output, we cannot conclude, we can say that we should change the allocation policy, because we don't know which threads allocate the object, we don't know which threads use the object, and we don't know if objects are shared between threads. We don't know if we should migrate memory, because we don't know when the objects are accessed, and we don't know if we should replicate pages, because we don't know if the objects are accessed in a read-only manner or in read-write. And if an object is written too often, then you have to keep all replicas in synchrony, and you are absolutely sure that the override cannot be compensated. So basically, we need a new profiler, and that is why we designed MemProf. So MemProf focuses on DRAM accesses. And MemProf is the first profiler that points out which objects are remotely accessed, and the thread object interaction patterns. And in the next few slides, I will explain what we mean by object and what we mean by thread object interaction patterns. So MemProf distinguishes five types of objects. Global statically allocated objects, which existing profilers are already able to recognize. But on top of that, MemProf also recognizes objects that are dynamically allocated, so it is able to match a memory access with a dynamically allocated object. It is able to recognize that an access is performed on a file mapped in memory, or on code sections, or on stacks. And for each object instance of one of these five types, MemProf creates an object event flow. An object event flow basically represents the timelines of memory accesses performed on the object. And this timeline is enriched with a set of metadata. For example, for an object, we have the size of the object, the code location where the object was allocated from, the node from which the object was allocated, and the thread that allocated the object. And for each memory access performed on the object, we also have a set of metadata. For example, the node from which the access is made, the node on which the object resides when it is accessed, because an object can move through time, the thread that performs the memory access, the latency, and the fact that the access is a read or write. And we also have an additional view. This is a view from the object, and we have an additional view, which is the view from the thread. So for each thread, we build a thread event flow, which contains all memory accesses performed by the thread. And so what can we do with that? I will take three simple examples to show which pattern we are able to detect using MemProf. So for example, we can detect that an object is simultaneously read by several remote threads. So in this picture, what we can see is basically a thread T0 located on a node N0 allocates an object. And then this object is accessed in read-only by two threads, T1 and T2, located on node N1 and N2. When you see that, you can decide to replicate the object on several nodes. And why would we decide that? Because it's the only optimization amongst the five that I presented earlier that allows increasing locality and allows having full locality. So this pattern is the one we observe in FaceRec. If you recall, FaceRec is a facial recognition engine, and so basically it manipulates matrices. During its run, FaceRec allocates about 200 matrices, and one of them induces about 98% of the remote accesses. And this matrix is initialized by a thread and then is accessed read-only by all other threads. So when seeing that, we decided to replicate the matrix. And it is a very easy operation to do. It's only 10 lines of code because there is no synchronization to do between replicas because we know the matrix is accessed in a read-only. And so by doing so, we have a performance improvement of 42%. We have checked that memprof leads us to the best possible optimization. So to be sure, we tested all of the optimization, interleaving, etc. And the maximum performance improvement we are able to have with other optimization was 15%. So basically what it shows is that memprof gave us correct information. So that was it for the first example of pattern that memprof is able to detect. I will show another example. For example, we can detect that an object is simultaneously read and written by multiple threads. So this time, the difference is that the object is not accessed in read-only manner. It is read and written. This time, so you cannot simply replicate the object because of synchronization costs. So you might decide to interleave the object. And actually, this is the pattern we observed in Stream Cluster. So we decided to implement interleaving in Stream Cluster. Stream Cluster is a clustering algorithm. It allocates about 1,000 objects. And again, only one of them is inducing most of the remote memory accesses. And it is accessed read and write by all threads. So what we did was we decided to interleave the object, which is very simple. You simply change a malloc call into a NUMA alloc interleave. And by doing so, we are able to have a performance improvement of 161%. Again, we checked that this was the best thing to do. And we tried implementing other optimization. And the maximum improvement we were able to get was 130%. So again, memprof led us to the best improvement, the best optimization. A last pattern, we can also detect that threads actually do not share objects. So in this example, a thread allocates four objects, and objects are not shared between threads. So in this situation, you might decide to change the allocation policy. Why would you decide to do that? Because, again, it's the best thing to do. If you know in advance which thread is going to use an object, you might as well allocate it on the correct node immediately. And that is the pattern we observed in PSearchy. In PSearchy, what we observe is quite strange. We observe that threads allocate objects they will use themselves on remote nodes. So it's completely wrong, and we decide to change it so that threads allocate their objects on their local node. And again, it's only a two-line of code modification. We change two malloc calls into two NUMA alloc local, and by doing so, we have a performance improvement of 8%, which is very nice because PSearchy was already doing very few remote memory accesses. If you recall from the first array, PSearchy was doing about 13% of its memory accesses on remote memory. So about 8% improvement is nice in this situation. So as a summary, memprof allows you finding the memory access patterns of your applications. And knowing the memory access patterns of an application allows designing efficient optimization. So in the next few minutes, I'll conclude this talk with a word on the implementation and on the overhead of MemProf. So basically, MemProf works in two phases, like most profilers. You have an online phase, where MemProf collects samples, and an offline phase, where MemProf analyzes samples. So in order to track memory accesses, MemProf uses IBS. IBS is a hardware facility of AMD processors, and basically it works by randomly tagging instructions. And for each tagged instructions, you have a lot of information about the execution of the instruction, like the virtual address that the instruction is accessing, the instruction pointer, the latency, the fact that it is a read or write, etc. So MemProf relies on this mechanism to collect memory accesses. And in order to track the object and thread's lifecycle, MemProf uses function overloading and kernel hooks. Basically, it logs all thread creation and destruction and all object creation and destruction. Then, after profiling during the offline phases, MemProf starts by sorting all samples by the time, and then basically replays the flow of memory accesses done by the application. So for each memory access, MemProf tries to match the memory access with the object and the thread that performs the access. Then MemProf regrouped all these information to create the object thread interaction flows. The overhead of MemProf is pretty low currently. We have a 5% slowdown on most applications, and this slowdown comes from two main sources. The first is IBS sampling, because we have one interrupt every 20K cycle. That's the main source of overhead on most applications. The second source is the object lifecycle tracking. On most applications, it is very negligible, but if your application performs a lot of malloc and free, then it can represent a few percent of the execution time. So, to conclude, we have seen that remote memory accesses are a major source of inefficiency. We have seen that existing profilers are not sufficient to pinpoint the causes of remote memory accesses. And I have shown MemProf, which is the first memory profiler that allows finding which objects are accessed remotely, and which allows understanding the memory access patterns to these objects. So we have profiled actually four applications, and I have only shown three during this talk, but they have profiled four applications. We have seen that using MemProf, we are able to find optimizations that are simple to implement and very efficient, because usually you can code it in your application with less than 10 lines of code and have performance improvement of up to 161%. So thank you for your attention, and if you have any question.
Okay, Haibo Chen from Shanghai Jiao Tong University. So I actually have two questions. The first question is, did you see a case when you animate remote memory access, but you will experience some capacity miss, because if you group memory access to one node, then maybe create pressures on the caches?
I'm not sure to get the question. Actually, what you're saying is that when you move memory, you have more pressure on caches?
Yes, if you, for example, if you replicate the matrix to same node, then that means that in this node, the cache will lead to hot move data, which may create some more catch misses?
We tried optimizing a few applications, and in all applications we tried to optimize, we didn't see such effect. So I'm not saying that they cannot occur in practice, but we didn't solve them in practice. So basically, I think that if you replicate an object and it allows to reduce the pressure on a memory controller, for example, then the gain you will have will always be more than the few cache misses you may produce, the few more cache misses you may produce. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it is a good answer.
Okay. The second question is, in Newman machines, usually there are the multiple nodes, and the multiple nodes usually have different latencies. Does memory profile differentiate among different access latencies from remote memory accesses?
Yeah, actually you can see the latencies, the average latency of memory accesses to performed on an object. Mm-hmm. So you are able to basically create a map of what's going on in your machine and mm-hmm. detect which accesses have a very high latency and which memory accesses have a lower latency. So yes, you okay. can do that. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Tsunji Ruashi from CMU, Carnegie Mellon. So my first question is actually related to his first question, which is that for the applications that you looked at, is it the case that they were not just fully utilizing all of the memory that was available in the NUMA system, which allows you to be able to, like, you know, basically replicate things in which you're making things redundant? So if you had a different scheme where, you know, the application as it is before your optimization was actually fully utilizing NUMA system, then how would your techniques of replication, how will that actually play out?
Yeah, so in all applications we have studied, memory is not fully utilized, so you can replicate without any problem. But yes, that is a very good question, and you have to take that into account when implementing, for example, automatic replication or things like that. Actually, MemProf is not telling you what to do, so if you know that your memory is full, then maybe according to the MemProf output, you could think of doing replication, but when you see that your memory is full, then you might do interleaving, for example, instead, or things like that. It's up to the programmer. The final decision is the decision of the programmer.
Okay. And then my second question is that, so since you take a sort of a static profile of the application, I mean, you basically, do you think that there is any benefits to, in other words, are this remote access patterns things that vary across the execution? So, you know, sometimes a thread is doing a lot of remote accesses and sometimes it's doing a lot of local accesses. Is this distinction clear in the profile that you take, or do you just categorize threads as, you know, doing remote access versus not doing remote access?
What is best is to do multiple profilings to be sure that the results are consistent across runs. If your application has different memory access patterns across runs, then it's very hard to know what to do using MemProf. So, yeah, basically, like in all profilers, if you did function profiling, and the function that took the most of the time varies across runs, then basically you don't know which code section to optimize. And it's the same for memory. If the objects that are accessed the most varies across run, then it's very hard to decide what to do.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Pamela Howell. I just had a question. You mentioned you also looked at Apache. Can you share with us anything about your findings there?
Thank
you.
Apache is a bit more complex. So you you have basically two main patterns. The first corresponds to is exactly the same as the one we observe in FaceRec. So basically what we see is that all threads belonging to the same process shared the pointer relocation table. And that this structure is basically representing about 40% of the remote memory accesses done by Apache. So that is the first pattern memprof shows for Apache. The second pattern is actually in Apache, all threads share the memory, share an allocation pool, and the memory is allocated when the process starts, and then pools are reused by thread across time. For each request, a thread tries to take a pool and then process the request and then put the pools back. And another thread will use the same memory again, which is very bad in ANUMA systems if threads are not placed on the same node, because a thread might use the pool locally and then another thread will use it remotely. So in this situation, the pattern is multiple threads are using the same object but at different time intervals. And so in the paper, what we decided to do was to basically cluster all threads belonging to a unique process on a node. And well, that's not usually what people do, because usually people pin threads, one thread per core, regardless of the fact that they belong to the same process or not. So basically what we did was to say that the correct way of pinning processes was to pin threads or to pin all threads of the same process on the same node.